sorry, July 12th meeting of Ways and Means to Order. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes from June 14th and June 21st meeting?
I move it.
Move it second. Okay. Legislator Cahill, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 11, requesting enactment of state and Senate Assembly bill for special law relation to hotel and motel occupancy tax. Can I have a motion? Chair Bartels, motion. Second.
Second.
Fabiano, discussion? Legislator Maloney?
Yeah, we have caucus after this. I think it's time to just pick a number, and if it passes, it passes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I don't think there's much more to talk about. 3-4%, and just do it. I'm surprised it's taken 7 months, and we still don't have, you know, and know where anybody's at. But in caucus tonight, I'll be kind of asking for an overall number. I just assume 3. I just assume 4. We'll see if it's 3, and then vote on it.
Leader Cato.
Thank you. So there was a committee appointed to review this, wasn't there?
There was, and I was, you know, I was told early on that, for one, I thought I'd be chairing it. I didn't. And then I was also promised that we would not let the Lodging Coalition kind of, you know, just completely destroy the process. And that was apparent early on that that wasn't going to happen, and we weren't going to, you know, and I think it got to a point where nothing was getting done, and we were allowing a few multimillionaires to completely pervert the process.
Through Chair Gavars to the chairman of the legislature, Chair Bartels, are you aware of a report that's going to be submitted by this committee or some sort of recommendation from the committee as to how we should proceed?
Not yet, but the working group is still working. I think that there's, you know, there have been several meetings. I know that the Lodging Coalition has also, in terms of what Legislator Maloney is bringing up about the lodging, I don't want to repeat the language, but the Lodging Coalition offered to host several meetings with the executive team to which members of the legislature were invited to, but the working group has been working separately. Chair Gavaris, chair of this committee, chairs that working group. And, you know, I think that there's, you know, I appreciate the frustration that Legislator Maloney feels, especially given that this is something we've been talking about over years. But I also think that we have a certain amount of time to get this together. And, you know, I would like to move with a sense of urgency as well, but I don't feel the need to necessarily move it, just pick a number and move it this month. And I also think that there were certain other things that were still up for discussion about whether or not we were going to be settling on a number that was the same number for all types of lodging. There was a question about categorizing impermanent structures as lodging. As we all know, that there are certain facilities that have cabins that are actually technically deemed impermanent, but they're owned by the owners of the property. They're not something that's brought on by the people who are camping at the sites. So all these are things that I think we still have yet to work out. And I'd rather get to the point where we, the legislature, have something solid rather than just throw a number at the wall and hope that someone's going to carry it. So that's where I'm at to answer your question, Legislator Cahill.
All right. Legislator Fabiano, then you should tell them, Maloney.
Yes. Through Chairman Tavares to Chairwoman Bartels, would it be okay if we postpone or take no action on this until that report is done and submitted to us?
Yeah, I think that would be fine. And I think it's fine to talk about it in caucuses as well. I mean, I think it's fine to solicit engagement from more of the legislature beyond the working group to Legislator Maloney's point.
Legislator Ushto.
Thank you. I just wanted to bring something up, which is the reason why I'm not pushing really hard on this, even though I agree with Legislator Maloney's points, just about all of them, frankly. which is that my understanding is if we found someone to carry this, or like if we, the legislature isn't meeting right now except for like emergencies basically, and if we passed this, it wouldn't have any weight that would carry over into the next legislative session, because they're going through an election, which means they're going to have new legislators on January 1st. And when January 1st comes, we would need to do something then anyway. So my understanding is that's the window that we need to operate, is at the very beginning of the year rather than at the end of not just the year, but their actual term expiring, because it's not going to carry over into the next term.
Legislator Maloney, you still want to speak?
Our legislative council originally said once we pass this, it sits there, that terms didn't matter, that we weren't on a time frame. And if that legal opinion has changed, then it's changed unbeknownst to me. I just had a question to either chair, with these, the 4 months or so and the multiple subcommittee meetings, do we have one, can we share one definitive finding or suggestion that has come out of those, out of these 4 months of subcommittee meetings? Can we have one or two? What is definitive thus far? What have we gotten out of those 3 or 4 months and all those subcommittee meetings? Is there anything? Is there one thing?
As of now, no. The report that we're waiting for is going to hopefully shed a lot of light on the impact that these groups have on the county's economy. That's one of the reasons why we're sort of waiting on this. It has, you know, 1%, 3%, 5%, whatever the number winds up being, there's an impact on it.
And this report is coming from where?
There's a consultant that they had hired.
Who's that?
The Lodging Coalition. They hired a consultant.
Oh, the Lodging Coalition has hired a consultant to report to us and give us gospel numbers about how much it will affect their business. I just got back from Massachusetts, by the way. It still never occurred to me I forgot to check that bed tax again. I've been going away almost every weekend for soccer for the last 2 years. And I tell myself while I'm on the thruway or whatever else, I'm going to get there, I'm going to check this bed tax. And I still have forgotten to check that bed tax.
All right. Legislator Walter.
Thanks. So Legislator Guevara's or Chair Guevara's, but in reference to the other committee, do you have a sense of a timeline that we would possibly have more information?
I don't, but I can follow up with them to see when that report will be ready.
And would that be the time, or will the working group take that report and meet and process it?
No, yeah, we would have to take that report and process it, of course.
Okay, so yeah, it would be useful only because if we are postponing it, and I'm not saying we are, but if we are, it'd be good to have at least an idea in our heads when we would really be reasonably in a better position to vote.
Any other comments? All right. Well, if we're not going to do any of the motion, then I'll call for a vote on it.
I'll move it postponed for a month.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Thank you. Second, Legislator Walter, all right. All those in favor of postponing?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. Thank you. Resolution 168, authorizing one-time reimbursement for real property taxpayers. Can I have a motion?
I'll move for discussion.
Move a second. Legislator Walter, discussion. Legislator Fabiano?
Second. Yeah.
No, looking for discussion. No discussion? All right. Well, Chair Bartos? No. All right. All those in favor then? Opposed? Looks like all opposed. All right. Motion has been defeated. Thank you. Resolution 288, requiring reporting of wages of contractors and subcontractors. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Move it. Second. Legislator Walter, discussion. Legislator Ushto?
Yeah, the version that's in your packet should be the one with that last change to, you know, that was what we agreed on with the executive and we talked about last time. So I held it from pushing it to the floor just because a couple of our colleagues had still questions about it. So I figured if anyone still has questions or anything else, you know, we can talk about it now. Otherwise, it should be good to go.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Can I just clarify that it's as presented before you?
As presented with the amendment.
I'm opposed, Chairman.
Chair, all right. But everybody's aware it's with the amendment, correct? Okay. So all in favor, one opposed. All right, thank you. Resolution 308 declaring Ulster County intent to be lead agency under SEAKER. Can I have a motion?
Can I move that we block perhaps 308, 309, 339? I have a feeling it's the same conversation.
I'll second that.
Oh, can I? Real quick, 339 has nothing to do with 308 or 309.
Oh, sorry. 308,
309. All right. Second is Legislative Ronk. All right. All those in favor of blocking?
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Discussion? Chair Bartels?
So I'm gonna ask, I'm not going to make the motion yet because I know there's other things you probably want to talk about, but I'm going to ask that this be postponed at this point for 1 week. I've been playing phone tag with the appraiser, the second appraiser. So we don't have the appraisal in hand now. In fact, I highly suspect we won't have it in time for next week, but I'd like to just postpone it for the 1 week at this point. And I know other issues have been raised and there are other things other people want to talk about. But again, I just want to put that out there and I'll make the motion at the appropriate moment.
All right. Let's go, Walter.
Thanks. So, to last month, I remain very, very concerned about this property as the one that selected. Some of the similar reasons related to the cost of the property, but the idea that we'd be investing in way larger of a property space than we actually need for the emergency services. But I'm also concerned about the fact that we don't give more time and energy into some of the other properties, especially that rose to the top, for example, the Golden Hill property, and reusing that. I have reached out to the village of New Paltz mayor to understand a little bit more about the water sewer possibility for this property. This is relevant because it was a scoring item on the scoring that we were shown last week as a key element of having municipal access. And so I wanted to know the reality of that. And the fact is, you know, it currently has a sewer and it has well, which may be fine for the emergency services, and I don't have the exact amount, or I may not even have the exact amount, but a close ballpark for next week, but it seems like to actually have the sewer connection to this property would be in the millions of dollars. And so I think the reason why that's relevant is, one, I think we should be thoughtful about the fact of the real cost of having this in this location, which again, you know, just for the sewer connection would be likely in the millions. But also, since we were shown a formula and shown a matrix with a grid, and Golden Hill lost by like a half of a point because that one of the point systems was municipal access, well, then maybe that should be rescored and all of a sudden Golden Hill would be the top one. So I just think, you know, I would encourage the executive's office to be taking a deeper look at whether this is truly the best location for this, given the cost and the implications and the fact that it does not readily and easily and without a large cost have access to municipal sewer and water.
Any other discussion? Legislator Maloney?
Yeah, you know, I've actually had members of the public reach out with concern on this project. One was a retired highway department member from New Paltz, who was talking about how this property was actively trying to be gotten rid of ever since they were turned down for some kind of amusement park there. I haven't seen that scoring system, but maybe I don't know if Brownfields got a high enough negative score, because that definitely would have brought it down below Golden Hill. You have somebody that has a known relationship with many members of the county government, bought the property, couldn't do what he wanted with it, actively trying to get rid of it. It's a 50-acre brownfield that was already subdivided, refused to even sell us the one subdivided piece, said, no, you have to take the whole thing. We said, great, okay. None of this looks good, smells good, sounds good. It's a 50-acre brownfield. And then when I asked what we're going to do with the rest of the 45 acres when we're done, I said, we're just going to put that on the tax rolls and be fair about it into an auction. No. I was told we don't know yet, but we want to pick our neighbors. So I assume we'd be giving it off to the EDA to start another one of these things that we do. It just, this is Golden Hill to me looks like a much more rational approach. And I'm just surprised that we've gotten this far with a 50-acre brownfield from somebody that's quite involved with this piece of property. And I know I'm not the only one on this meeting that has had people from the community. I've talked to another legislator that had members of the community reaching out about real concerns, not just with the fact that it's a bad, it doesn't look like the best spot, but that these relationships that exist.
Legislator Rock?
Yeah, thanks. I've sat through, several of these meetings so far. I sat through the presentation three times. We seem to have a lot of amateur engineers in the legislature, amateur, siting specialists, amateur, dowsers or whatever. I feel like, at some point this is going to become disrespectful to the people who work at the 911 center. And I just think that we should make a statement as a legislature that we know better than GPI and we know better than the executive's office and start moving forward on Golden Hill, because, we can sit through and bicker about whether Golden Hill is better or whether water is going to be available. I know that the mayor of New Paltz says a lot of things and not all of them are 100% accurate. So, I don't take that word, right to the bank, but I we can sit month after month after month and talk about how we know Golden Hill is better than this site, and we could banter about conspiracy theories about moneyed interests, or we can just, start working and moving forward on the kind of facility that our 911 dispatchers deserve. So that's how I feel about it. I'm pretty much done.
Legislator Cahill. And then
Fabiano. So, I obviously, and I think most legislators, I will assume to speak for most legislators when I say that I don't think anyone's against the center. And I don't think they're by us doing our due diligence and looking at something that we requested, which is a separate appraisal of the property for the legislature to compare what the offering price is by the property owner and what the county is looking at purchasing, what our appraiser will tell us what it's worth. I don't think that's showing disrespect at all.
I want to be clear, Legislator Cahill, I want to be clear. I said nothing about the appraisal, and I will support a postponement so we get the appraisal back.
All right.
Very little that was said in this meeting so far has anything to do with the appraisal. I've heard about water.
He's attracted.
I would like to make my point there that, right. We weren't talking about any of the things that were mentioned about, saying let's just drop it and move it to Golden Hill. I certainly don't feel that way. And all I want to do is see a comparable appraisal for the property to see if the county's getting a fair deal. That's all. That's all I want to see. Once I see that, I'll make my decision. It's not going to have anything to do with politics. It's not going to have to do with anything other than, what's been presented through the presentation, the requirements for the training center the operations center and, what's in front of us. So, that's it. It's just doing our job, in my opinion, right? Getting the second appraisal, looking at it, doing our due diligence. It's that simple.
Legislator Fabiano.
Yes. What I wanted to say, first of all, what Legislator Maloney said, I was the other legislator that have received some calls from local attorneys and some local real estate people here in my town who, quite frankly, came out and told me that they, at this point, they do not like what they're seeing at all. My second point is I think the emergency people who work in this county at the end of the day aren't really going to care where this facility is located. They just want to make sure that they have one and they have a new one. It's our responsibility as legislators that the that we make sure the county, the residents of Ulster County, the taxpayers of Ulster County, get the best bang for their buck. And if it ends up being at New Paltz, that's fine. But if the numbers stay the way they are right now, I will definitely be a no.
Leslie, you should tell.
That we can look at.
Thank you. Leslie, you should tell.
Thanks. I just wanted to clarify that just because I heard a comment that I think was meant in jest to provoke thought, but just to totally clarify, I don't think anyone believes, and certainly the conversation in the public safety committee and with our, with the folks in the public safety space at various levels, I don't think anyone believes that the Golden Hill site is going to be a better site for this emergency operation center. The best site is the site in New Paltz for a variety of reasons I'm not going to go into again. That is the best site. It is more expensive, and I realize that if it's the will of the, you know, of the legislature not to go with it for cost reasons, it won't be because it wasn't the best. It'll be because of the cost reasons. I just want to be very clear that the best site for what this property needs to do is the site in New Paltz. And for someone who's a legislator representing Kingston, I love things being in Kingston. I hear a lot, we need more stuff in Southern Ulster. Not that New Paltz is as far south as some might like to see a project happening for Southern Ulster, but you know, a project that has a property that has space to do more with would certainly open the door for more to happen outside of Kingston. Maybe it's odd for me to be, as a legislator from Kingston, advocating for that. You know, maybe I should leave that to my colleagues from the South, but that would certainly open the door to that. And I hope that folks have that in mind as well.
Legislator Walker.
Yeah. So I'd like to say that the idea of the New Paltz site being the best site is a very subjective term. There is a metric that was applied by a team as to what the site, which site was better. And I think it's important to again reiterate that the difference in the score between this site and the others in that more objective metric was very close. And as I pointed out, with the municipal access to sewer and water, wasn't necessarily as accurate in the scoring as possible. I think that looking back at that scoring sheet is what we ought to utilize rather than these opinions. And honestly, I would say for myself, and I think for other legislators, it is actually not the best site. It's not the best site for this. It's not the best site for future housing necessarily. There's a lot of reasons why I'm concerned about it. And I just want to be clear that I don't think we all do agree that it is the best site.
I'm going to go to Deputy Executive Ryder, but first, because you're probably going to make a response to what I'm going to say, so I'll pull up for a second on you. But, you know, one of the things that I looked at when we saw the presentation, I didn't catch it that night, but I noticed it afterwards, is there was really a third option that was not presented to us, which is building a new building at Golden Hill to the, would be the right of the existing 911 center. There was an outline in the drawing. There was an outline in the drawing, but no information about how it scored, the positive, the pros, the cons, nothing was talked to us about, but yet it is an option. And I don't know why it wasn't explored. It was only a renovation of the Golden Hill health department building or new construction at New Paltz. The third option doesn't seem to be any information. And I did reach out to Deputy Executive Ryder and he was going to try to find something. So let you go ahead and speak now. Is it right?
Yeah, and so I'm working on that. Our main architect has been on vacation and returns to the office tomorrow. So I was assuming that you all would probably postpone this for a week anyway. And he said that he could get me that documentation by the end of the week. They did do some high-level costing it out because it has to be two stories and elevators and fire escapes. And it was actually more expensive than the mental health renovation. So the one very important point I want to make, and it has to do with every RFP that this county puts out and a lot of scoring gets you to a certain place to decide whether it's an RFP, then there's interviews and there's other things looked at for who you choose. Yes, the scoring seemed very close between the Golden Hill site and the New Paltz site. But even if things are tweaked in one way or the other. And even if Golden Hill scored slightly higher, there is a lot of reasons that New Paltz, as legislator Uchitel said, is the correct and the best site. We have paid licensed consultants who are recommending that site. We have an emergency services commissioner who wants and recommends that site, or director. It is by far the superior site when it comes to the different kinds of fiber and electricity redundancy, the access to the thruway and the centralized location in Ulster County and having a satellite to the south. It is by far a superior site. We have wells and septics that will be more than adequate for the government operations center if it's chosen that we would turn the rest of it into housing and we have to turn to the village. Then it would be on whoever would be the developer to incur those costs. It would not be on the county to incur costs of adding sewer and water. So I just want to be clear on that. But this is the site that was selected by our architects, our engineers, and on our overall team working. We are eagerly awaiting a second appraisal. We hope that it comes in this month, hope that it comes in next week. But if it doesn't, then we're just waiting. I've put everybody on hold. The entire team cannot move forward with a government operations center. And while I know Legislator Ronk was speaking in jest, I really do not want to see us move on to the second site without fully vetting out and doing everything we can to move forward with the New Paltz site.
Can we please put in the record the exact comment that Deputy Executive Ryder said, that it would be on the developer to pay for the water and sewer, because such has not been the case, especially most recently at Golden Hill, where the county wound up paying for demo. I'd like to please have that part of the record. I lost track of who was first, so I'm going to go with Legislator Walter, then Fabiano, then Bartels.
Yeah, so I'd be curious to know how well...
Mr. Chairman, Legislator Maloney's had his hand up since way before the last time that
you got to start using the hands up thing then, because I can't, if I don't see you, I'm writing it down as I see it, but if I don't catch
Legislator
you,
Legislator Maloney, would you like to go before me?
No, go right ahead, Eve. I'll go right after you.
Thank you. So I'm also curious on whether, you know, the experts really also considered the feasibility of selling off that land to use for housing. Obviously the owner was probably very interested in utilizing it and had their own problems. And the fact that it doesn't have water and sewer, the fact that it's located right by a thruway, that it's disconnected from the community, I just wonder how successful it will even be to sell it off to a developer for housing. And then during that entire time period, it'll be off the tax rolls. I would also be curious to know whether some real assessment has been made on the likelihood that we would truly be able to sell off that property in order to develop housing. Because I feel like it's probably, I don't know if it's been looked at, but it feels pretty unlikely that would be a successful sale anytime soon.
I'm going to just go to Deputy Executive Ryder so we can get that answer if we can. Deputy Executive Ryder, if you have a response.
I mean, so housing was one option. We didn't really task the consultant to take that much into account, the extra money that would come back, because if you recall from looking at the two proposed, like the two different sites, even with the $3.5 million purchase price of the site, they're within they're within $1 million of each other over the long term. For the more, again, that being a superior site, they believe that it could come back to $1.5-2 million for development of some kind. Housing was one option because we, you know, need more affordable housing in Ulster County. It could be that we would sell off that for manufacturing. We could look and decide that we want to have more government services there and build out another, you know, government center. That there's a lot of options. Everything's still on the table. Housing is one of those options, and I understand, you know, the concern of it being out of the town. Now, I will say that Town Supervisor Batez is very interested and is applying for a DRI project to make that as another kind of downtown area right in that location, and thinks that housing would be a great addition to that site.
Can I just respond to one little thing? If you could just check, because I believe when they showed us the price differential and the $500,000 was different, they kept repeating that doesn't include the sale of the property. And maybe I'm misremembering it, but I'm pretty sure that close price did not include the sale.
It does not include the sale.
Right, no. So it's not really $500,000 different.
No, it includes
$500,000.
I'll go back and look. It does include the purchase price, but I'll take a look.
It does, yeah.
It doesn't include the sale of the property to somebody else.
No, I meant that I don't recall it being include the purchase price, but
it was in there.
It does. Yeah, it does. All right, Legislative Mullen.
I have a lot of questions and concerns, even about the process the consultant used. I'm surprised that I can't imagine this being the best piece of property that they could find in our entire county. I hear a lot about electric, speaking to an electrician that actually did the electrical work over at the 911 center in Dutchess County. They have 1 feet and a lot of backup generators and whatnot. So I've been confused by like one of the number one reasons for this. I'm hearing these different things that don't jive with what I'm hearing from Dutchess County. I agree with you 100% that's an opinion that we're just saying, hey, this is by far and away the best site. And I think I heard Mark say that the renovation fabricating a building on Golden Hill would cost more than the renovation, but I want to hear about a comparison for a new fabricated building on Golden Hill compared to the numbers that we're getting from this new Paltz piece of property that a lot of us aren't happy with. And as far as some of the questions that Eve is going after in New Paltz and things like that, I hear the word amateur. You know, it's a carrot and a stick what's been going on with this legislature and the executive's branch for many years now. When we hear veteran, housing, economic development, 911 center, call center, it's just fine. We don't want to look into it. If there's any amateur hour-ish stuff going on, it's what this legislature has lacked in due diligence over the last 10 years or so, and what we've allowed to happen and find out later weren't great deals. What we're trying to do now is get real answers, and I'm sorry, but a lot of it's not making sense. On its face, 50-acre brownfield, we need 5 acres or so, if that. I mean, and how this property, and then you take all those other things into consideration. How do we even know who this consultant was and how they came across their matrix and this and how we came across how this ended up at the top of the list? It doesn't make a lot of sense. And I'm sorry, everybody wants this to happen, but everybody wants all these things to happen. That's the problem. We get into ways and means, and it's always, well, this really needs to happen. We don't have a lot of time. It's green. It's solar. It's this. We're going to get this done over at Tech City. And then we find out a year or two later, it was just not as good of a deal as it could have been, or quite frankly, a bad deal. And I'm sick of getting pushed around and bad information. And this just doesn't look great. And Golden Hill does make more sense. And I do not agree that New Paltz is just a superior piece of property to do this on. I don't agree whatsoever. And I think some of the stuff that Eve is looking into should be easily answered by the executive's team already.
All right, Chair Bartels. Good. Legislator Fabiano?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I heard enough.
Legislator Walter?
I'll make a motion to postpone since that needs to be put out for next week.
Second.
I'll second that motion.
Second, Fabiano. All right, all those in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. All right, Resolution 339, approving execution of a contract for $1.3 million for Gorick Construction. Can I have a motion? Mr. Cahill, second. Can I get a second? Chair Bartels, discussion. All those in favor, Legislator Walter?
Yeah, I'm just, I'm going to be voting no for the same reason, is that I still feel like we should not have been paying for the demolition costs that were agreed to by the contractor. So I know it'll pass, but I just want to be clear why I'm going to continue to be no.
Legislator Maloney?
you know, I think we also have to be cognizant when we put these numbers out there of what we think it's going to be, and then we do an RFP or an RFQ, and then the number comes in exactly. You know, there's different ways of doing demolition. There's different ways of doing a lot of projects. You know, if I was building a deck and I told the guy I want to spend, you know, and then I let them tell me later what materials they're going to use and everything else. There's deconstruction. There's total demo. There's different ways of doing demo. So we constantly do this in the county. We're not the only government that does this. And it's kind of a known thing that you have to watch out for in government. Putting the number out there that you're willing to pay, and then suddenly the number you get is that number that you put out before doing the RFP and the RFQ without a lot of specifics on what we want it done. So, I agree with Eve 100%. This was the public, the legislature. We were told whether there was fine print in what you guys were able to do with this housing corp or not. Everybody was under the impression that this company was that Penrose was going to be doing the demolition, and now they're not. And with all these other things, now we're trying to get them a grant in a bizarre way. The appraisal nonsense, it's really getting old with Penrose and how it seems we're going way too far with the tax dollar, and they're not putting a lot of skin in the game, and it doesn't make a lot of sense.
All right. Any other discussion? I'm going to be a no as well tonight. Same reason as Legislator Walter. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion's carried. Thank you. 341, amending the 2022-2027 capital improvement project number 642 for ARPA home energy improvements. Can I have a motion? Legislator Walter, second. Chair Bartels, discussion. Chair Bartels.
Thanks. I'm gonna ask that we hold this for a week. You know, I've talked in multiple committees about wanting to, and it doesn't have to happen in Ways and Means, but I've talked in multiple committees about wanting to kind of pause on moving ARPA resolutions through quickly, given that we're at a point where if all of the resolutions that came before us this month, if all of them were to pass, we'd essentially would be basically out of ARPA funds. And I think we're at that point where it would serve us to look at what's already passed, what we've already committed, what we've already spent, take an assessment, and then also really set our own legislative priorities on what's left, and come what may, whatever that may be, because there are more projects that haven't even been brought to the fore that wouldn't even be able to be considered. That said, on this particular, a couple of the ARPA resolutions were postponed in other committees. This is the one that's making it to here. This one, I did get contact information to follow up on the, this is being presented as both a retrofit and a green jobs training program. The detail of the green jobs training program wasn't really expressed, other than in general terms that there would be interns in collaboration with Citizen for Local Power on each of these projects, which my understanding is that we would fully fund each of these projects, and that that then we would work with CLP to make sure that their interns were on the projects. I am going to, in this week, if the committee agrees to postpone, I am going to reach out to CLP to better understand what that program is. I understand that it's already in effect, that it's an internship program that's already working. But I think that if we're going to fund this as a jobs training program, we should have a sense of what it is that we're funding, since actually we're not funding the jobs training, we're funding the retrofit and utilizing the full funding of the retrofit to make sure that there's jobs to train on. So again, I don't want to even so much get into, I think I have a long record as being very supportive of green things. So I know this will probably come as some surprise that I'm hesitant on this, but I'm just asking right now for the 1 week hold, and then we'll see next week where the committee is.
Legislator Walter.
Thanks. And I apologize if this exists and I missed it. I do remember several months ago, and I don't remember if it was from our team or the executives, we had this kind of tally that had expenditures already approved, pending ones. So do we have like the most updated, or if not, can we before next week have that list that includes completed and pending, or if I have it in my email, point me to it.
Yes, we could definitely get an updated from, it's been circulated with the ARP committee, but I can make sure that it's circulated to the full Ways and Means Committee, even the full, probably the full legislature should look at it. And Amber's done tremendous amount of work keeping us up to date on all that information. So I'll make sure that, that everyone in the legislature gets that.
Thank you. Legislator Ronk, and then Maloney.
I was just going to make that motion to postpone it for a week, but if Legislator Maloney wants to talk first, I'll hold off.
You want to talk first?
It was just a question about ARPA funds in general, that are we getting reports back with regards to, you know, we set this much aside for said project or whatever. I mean, if we're giving money to people in the private sector now to do things. Are we getting back that the money's not being used or didn't use as much? For instance, our water sewer resolution, I've heard there's been some municipalities turned down. I know Rochester was turned down, so we're obviously not going to use all that money. Are we getting reports in real time of how much money isn't being used so we know? And do we know any money that's come back already? Do we know of anything already that we thought was spent?
Chair Martel.
So in real time, I mean, in the strictest sense of real time, probably no, but we are getting updates, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, I think we're at a place where we should not just, you know, look at it on the list, but we should have a deeper dive and look closely at it. I believe and expect that there are going to be projects that either don't use the full funding or don't use any of the funding. There's going to be the potential of money coming back to us without a doubt. So to say that at this moment, if all the three projects this month were expended, that we would be very near the end, if not at the end, that means based on what's committed, but knowing that some of what's committed is going to come back. And I think, Legislator Maloney, you're bringing up an important point because, you know, there are, and the ARP team is with us today, there, you know, we've approved multiple projects, some of which include like a funding mechanism that's evaluative, like the water and sewer, like the not-for-profits, like the small business. And I know that they're working their way through those programs, but the money, like the checks haven't been cut for all of those programs yet. So, and again, I also think just speaking as one legislator, I mean, I think there's the possibility that we may look at, let's take water and sewer, for example. We may look at one project and say, wow, there's been more of a response than we thought, and we're having more of an impact than we thought. We'd like to spend more money on this project based on demonstrated success. We can't have that conversation if we spend all the money right now, which is why I just think we're at a point where we should have the conversation with one another, we're the appropriators, about how we want to spend the balance. And that will involve a real up-to-date, up-to-the-minute evaluation of where everything's at.
Deputy Secretary Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. So just in terms of some of the programs, the legislature and the executive staff are all scoring the non-for-profits. They're starting to get towards the end of that, and then we'll start to make those awards, I would expect, in the next few weeks. So there was over 90 something applications for that. So going through those does take some time. The water and sewer, we did the pre-application, which I also reviewed just to make sure that first the projects were ready in terms of a timeline to spend them down, but then second to make sure that they topically fit water and sewer. Some of the projects just simply did not. But the projects that were left over and that have moved to the full application phase, we believe are going to be, at least from first glance, they seem to be more project ready in terms of implementation. The appropriation was at $5 million for water and sewer. I think we're right there in terms of about 15 or so projects that'll roll up to that amount that will probably, you know, we have to put them through that second round to make sure that they are truly ready to execute on the funding and the project. So We are working through that now. We've issued at the request of several legislators for those projects that are deemed good past the first round to let the applicants know that, you know, they're going to be barring anything else or non-legislative. These contracts will come back to the legislature because they'll be in excess of $50,000 for the water and sewer. So they have to go through the second round. It's a lot of money on the table. So those are the two that are still going. And then we're now working on the application phase for the small business ones as we just wound down CARES phase one. So that's kind of the status check on those competitive ones. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any other discussion? All right. Remember, is there a motion to postpone?
Does John Heppner have his hand up?
If you don't mind, Chair Guevaras.
I have people who are not on video hidden, so I didn't see. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
I just wanted to flag. I want to thank the executive's office, speaking of water and sewer, and encourage the legislatures to listen to the testimony. We had a recent water hearing, and it was really impactful. It's definitely a really serious issue in our county, and it's Saugerties and Mount Marion, it's West Turley, out in Olive. So if folks want to listen to that, can I ask the executive's office to share that testimony?
Thank you. All right. So again, motion for postponing for 1 week.
I'll second it.
Second. Okay. Fabiano, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. All right. Resolution 343, setting a public hearing, proposed local law number 9 for law for collecting delinquent tax for village properties. Can I have a motion?
I'll move for discussion.
Walter, second. Legislator Rock. Discussion. Legislator Maloney.
This is something that goes back many years before half of the legislature that's presently here now. And we all know that we make municipalities whole while they're going through their foreclosure process or not getting paid taxes for delinquent properties in on the town aspect and the school aspect of that share. And, we just saw that, the town of Ulster, thank goodness, I'm sure Mr. Quigley would agree that 701 Grant Avenue, the town of Ulster, got made whole for all those years. And, these villages, a larger part of their budget, which is much smaller, can really be troubled. Going back, I think Ellenville, I was told today that Ellenville wanted this years ago. There was discussions about them not having their paperwork ready. The way this resolution is trying to read is that it would be an option for the three villages to opt in. Really, it just makes them equal to the municipalities with regard to that process of being made whole. And back in 2020, this is according to several village trustees in Saugerties and the a former Saugerties legislator, Executive Hine, and the Commissioner of Finance had a meeting and agreed to put it into the 2020 budget or something, that this would start happening. And then the executive left and it just went by the wayside. I spoke to two village trustees a month ago. They asked if I would put it in again for it to be considered. It would be a tiny, tiny, minute thing for the county, but it could be a real big deal for these villages once in a while.
Thank you, Legislator Ronk. And then Walter.
Thanks. I'll support a public hearing, but the thing I'd like our attorneys to confirm, and this is something that has been a stumbling block for many of us over the years, as Legislator Maloney states, I want to say this has come up at least once in almost every term that I've served in since I first got elected. The concern is always looking back. And the question is, if we take over the responsibility for, delinquent tax properties in the villages, do we then have to make the villages whole going back until, any of these properties were supposed to be foreclosed on or when the tax or what taxes are owed? And it's my understanding that it's not just a moving forward situation. At least that's how it had been relayed to me in the past, that we would be on the hook for the money that these properties owe going backwards. And that's a deal breaker for me. I don't have that much of a problem with you know, working on moving forward, but it's if there's some way to block it from being a look back too, I'm fine with that. But otherwise, the county could be on the hook for a lot more than just a little bit of money.
All right, let's say Walter, and then.
You know, I'll wait and hear some of the responses. I guess what my primary thing was, since it is a public, even though it is a public hearing, but this is the first week of Ways and Means of a possible postponement, because I want some time to understand a little bit better. So that was all I was going to say, but I perhaps in the continued conversation, I'll feel a little bit more clear.
Okay. Chair Bartels?
Thank you. You know, I think it's reasonable. I realize it's a public hearing, but I think it's reasonable to wait the week, maybe to get a few of these answers in the week. I share Legislator Ronk's concerns about the look back, and I recall this debate and discussion, and I'm going to pull up my old notes because last time this came up, I believe it was Legislator John Parity who brought it forward, and I had a list of like 30 questions particular to one village that I really never got, you know, satisfactory answers to. So I'll find those questions again. But a lot of those questions had to do with the look back. I would like to know how the villages feel currently, you know, the leaders of the current villages and their boards. Do they actually want this? I appreciate Legislator Maloney saying two trustees are asking for it. I would also like to know if whether yes or no, what's on the books for all those three villages and how far back the properties date. And I'd like to see that inventory so that we can understand what the implications would be to Ulster County, because I suspect Legislator Ronk's right now. And I also would like to ask the legal question of whether or not we could craft an agreement, and I guess it's just restating what Legislator Ronk said, if we could craft an agreement that started from day one, because if some of these villages have properties that are on the books, like 701 Grant on our books, that go back 10, 15, 20 years and have tremendous tax burden, we're going to be taking all that on in one fell swoop. And I don't think we should, I'm not saying that we should say yes or no, but I think we should know exactly, and at any moment in time, we should be able to find out exactly what specifically we're getting into. So if I could get those three questions answered, I'd feel a lot more comfortable.
Okay. Legislator Fabiano, then Maloney.
My only thing was, you know, in all Ulster County, we only have three villages. I mean, that's why I never understood really what the problem was. But on the other note, what I got to say, in the past, when we've had public comment or public hearings on this issue, I've never seen anybody from the village attend. I mean, if we have a public hearing on this issue, these mayors and trustee members should come to the public hearing and make their case. I think we should make them whole, personally.
Legislator Maloney?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, we probably know some of the, I mean, if people are not paying their village taxes, there's a good chance they're not paying things that would show up for us. And I don't think we'll ever get to a point where we're going to be making, you know, we didn't even know about 701 Grand Avenue for the last 11 years. It's bizarre to me that we're going to worry about the village taxes. But I would like, I'll ask Natalie if she can send, I mean, I could probably do the legwork with some of Saugerties, but could we send out a request from to the three villages and just ask some of these things? Maybe they're not interested. I do know that two village trustees and the mayor from Saugerties several years ago had a meeting with the executive, and they came up with a deal for 2020. That's when I removed this in my first term, because I was told by my village board and mayor that they had a deal with the county and it was all good. So, and then that deal went away. This would be a vote of the village board if they wanted to enter this agreement. I'm fairly certain we could probably legally put in there that it's going forward. and that we're not going to go back and pay whatever they are. But I'd also like to know how much is on the books right now for these different villages. How much are they owed? You know, if we're talking about 300,000 with Saugerties and 150,000 with Ellenville and 75,000 with New Paltz or something, maybe we'd feel more comfortable, especially I don't mind putting this off a week and requesting some of this. You know, my impression a couple of years ago was that these villages were, my village in particular, was fairly intimidated by the county and you know, it's a big deal for them to go up and ask things of the county, which is why we probably haven't seen them come and demand these things. I'm pretty sure if you ask them honestly, why wouldn't these villages want to be made whole? Is there a single town? Supervisor Quigley's on here. Is there a scenario where the town of Ulster would not want to be made whole? You know what I mean? It doesn't make a lot of sense. And we've always, anyone I've ever talked to said, if you start from scratch now, you wouldn't have any villages. The New Paltz is the one exception because of the college. There may be some element of a village you'd want to have, but you would start with just these municipalities and you wouldn't have a village inside of a town. I know that's how Saugerties is. So I just don't know why we wouldn't treat them as municipalities. And if we're so concerned about being stuck on the hook for a couple extra $100,000 that goes back a couple of years, maybe we should put our legislative big boy and big girl hats on and go and figure out what happened with 701 Grand Avenue, $10 million. But nobody cares about that. But we're worried about making the villages whole. I love it.
Deputy Zager Kelly, then Ronk, and then Walter.
Thank you, Chair. So I think doing the research and finding out what's in arrears currently to the villages would be a good first step to understanding fiscal impact. I know that we have an annual auction where we do foreclose upon the properties. I know that the villages don't do that in the same consistent manner. And I'm only talking about Saugerties and Ellenville. So in terms of having a consistent process, or, you know, every 3 years they execute upon it and do the foreclosure process, I'm pretty sure that they haven't been doing that consistently. The other part is Village of New Paltz does not foreclose. So they act under Article 10, which is a tax lien process. So they would have to change that and opt into Article 11, which if the three of them opt in, it's not just about us making them whole. We would include their properties within our foreclosure process. So there would be no more, the dynamic doesn't become like the village gets to pick and choose or set their own process. They'd be part of the county process. Also in the past, and this goes back several years, our understanding is that certain residents were told to not pay the village portion, but to make sure you're whole on the county side. So if you're paying your county side, that means that we weren't going to enact a foreclosure process because there was nothing in arrears to us. So there's certain dynamics there. I'm not going to presume. I'm a budget person, so I'm not going to presume what's out there, but I think it would certainly behoove us to find out what's out there, especially from Ellenville and Saugerties, so we know what that's going to be. And to Legislator Ronk's point, I don't know within Article 10, we act under Article 11 for our process. Are we able to set a new point where we're now responsible for the going forward and our 3 years begins on day one of some agreement? Or are we able to bifurcate this and separate it out where Ellenville, Saugerties, New Paltz, if they choose to be part of this agreement that we're in, which we do with the towns, would they pick up what's already owed to them? Would they be okay with that? Or are we picking up the bill on day one? I'm not taking a position. I'm saying it's a piece of information we should have to make an educated decision about this. And with a public hearing, setting one, it certainly gives us that window to continue to gather that information. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Ronk.
I mean, Chris said most of what I was going to say. There's been instance after instance of people paying their county and their town taxes, but not their village taxes, because the county won't foreclose for that, and the villages haven't done their due diligence to collect those taxes and or foreclose themselves. So, you know, that's, and there was a case in Ellenville that kept coming up where a village official was telling people not to pay their village taxes.
Leslie Walter.
Thanks. So I will say that I know that New Paltz has nothing on their books, but I guess back to the original point that was brought up by Chair Bartels and Legislator Ronk through the chair to Legislator Maloney, and in light of the idea that even if this is a public hearing, it's useful that as much detail is in the public hearing, that things aren't necessarily changed later. Would you be comfortable if we postponed it for a week that we could add any of these elements, such as the idea of starting the clock now moving forward? I think the other issues of, you know, when would the county get the money to these municipalities? So would you be amenable? I would like to make a motion to postpone it a week, get a chance to speak to my village mayor a little bit more. But could we possibly, would you be willing to, if we identify there's certain elements that we would like to be added to it, even though, again, it is a public hearing, would you be okay with those pieces?
I've mentioned before it'd be okay. And then, you know, I'd like to reach out and see if we get back as well. I will say that one thing I had heard about that issue, as far as people purposely not paying their village taxes, that would be taken care of with this. If we gave this option to villages would no longer have to deal with that happening. That would curtail that behavior. And I will say that Sullivan County already does this, and we could also look over to Sullivan County, but they do this for their villages. I'll wait the week.
Just so you know, point of order, that there is actually only two counties in the state that do not make their villages whole, and Ulster County is one of them. The rest of the counties do make the villages whole.
All right. I had looked real quick and found Sullivan. Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Can I just, I made a motion to postpone it for 1 week.
Okay. Second, Chair Bartels. All right. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. All right. Resolution 344, adopting revised Ulster County fund balance policy.
I'll move it.
Let's move it. Second. Chair Bartels, discussion. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 346, approving 2022-2023 Ulster County Community College budget. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Senator Walter, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 347, amending capital project 541, Ulster County, the SUNY Ulster facility equipment. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Mr. Cahill, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 349, approving the exercise of a contract for $63,495 for offset house. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Mr. Walter, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'll come back to which they're wrong for afterwards. 352, authorizes the Department of Environment to submit application for the stormwater, New York State Water Quality Improvement Project. Can I have a motion? Chair Walter, second. Cahill, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 353, authorizing the Chair of the Legislature to execute a contract with New York State Office of Prevention of Domestic Violence. Can I have a motion? Chair Walter, second. Mr. Cahill, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Legislator Ronk, 349. Just want to record your vote for that officially. That was the offset house. Legislator Ronk? Legislator Ronk? Can I be heard?
Yes, I can hear you.
Legislator Ronk, can you hear? Apparently, Legislator Ronk's having issues. All right.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry.
Okay, you're cutting in and out. I just 349. You were stepped away, so just want to get your official vote.
I'm a yes. Sorry, I had to get a charger for my computer. It was going to die.
No problem. Just want to get your vote there. Thank you.
Yep.
354, authorizing application for comprehensive opioid stimulant and substance use site-based and grant funding. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Move second. Legislator Walter, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 355, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget to approve reclassification of part-time grant manager to a full-time peer recovery advocate. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second, Walter, discussion? Mr. Walter? Mr. Walter?
Is Legislator Uchitel still here? If not, the deputy executive?
He is here.
I'm here. Here.
So just clarification, if conversation, do they have someone else who also is going to continue to support helping them with their grants? Or would this then result in them not having anyone who will have that capacity? And whether you brought that up at all. I just know there's a lot of grants that they're dealing with. And or
yes, that was brought up, and I'll defer to Sheriff Figueroa to answer it.
So good evening, everyone. I'm still a little under the weather, but I'm back. So we hired a part-time grant manager initially, but we were never able to hold that person because it was a part-time position. The funding for that position is still available from within the grant. Our peer advocates have been averaging 30 cases each per month. Last year, we were still number two in the state. First quarter of this year, we are down 40% on overdoses, but the caseload continues. So what we're looking to move the money from the part-time grant manager that we never had for the last year and a half to a full-time recovery advocate. And we are in discussions with the Department of Health and Mental Health and the county exec's office to use the opioid settlement money to help offset the cost in the future.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So carried.
Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to vote yes on 352 and 53, which I'm told I missed.
Gotcha. Thank you. 356, authorizing application of funds for law enforcement national initiative to improve public safety for the enhanced operation training via training. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second.
Second.
Rob, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 357, authorizing the chair of the legislature to enter a new lease agreement with Industry Village 1451 LLC. Can I have a motion? Mr. Cahill, second. Mr. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 358, authorizing approving the execution of a contract amendment for $13,992, causing the aggregate to exceed $50,000 for NICOMCO. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second. Walter, second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 359, amending the 2022 capital budget to realign salaries and create a deputy chief ADA. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Move it. Second. Mr. Bartels, discussion? Mr. Ronk?
The DA is here. He want to give us a little bit of background on it?
Sure. Be happy to do that. So what we've done is we've combined two part-time positions into a full-time position. I've already seen the benefit of that. Part-time positions address only the court. Full-time position we can use for other services. The person that we have in mind for this position has been with the office for 18 years. She has extensive experience both in justice court and with this office. And using her as both a manager for our justice court, where everybody probably knows that we have 3,000 plus court cases in justice court every year. It's where we meet the public the most to make sure that we're doing our best with all of those cases. This person can add to the management level at that position, and we're thinking so we get plus 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 for those positions to be combined. I've also elevated already within our office Liz Comani Mills to be a deputy chief assistant, and what she is adding is incredible management experience for our office. She's terrific. Everybody is doing double duty in my office right now. The fact that she's willing and has undertaken this responsibility is really helpful to both our office and the community. And it also improves everything in our office make sure that we can audit and do all the management levels that we have to do to make sure our office is performing properly. And she's undertaking this responsibility willingly and in an excellent way that I think she needs to be paid for that additional management responsibility.
All right. Any other discussion? Let's say Walter.
Yeah, I'll just say, you know, my experience, especially when I was sitting in, as the chair of law enforcement public safety, is that the district attorney, and I find the same thing with the sheriff, like if they say that they need something, they most unquestionably need something. And so, you know, I think that we elected these people to do their job. And if he expressed this concern and he's making these changes, I would trust that these are necessary.
Any other discussion? Mr. Rock?
Just with all due respect to the district attorney, I got a lot of respect for him. I don't know that I've ever seen this much moving around of positions, realigning of positions, reclassifying of positions in one department in a period of 12 months, which gives me pause to support this tonight. You know, I understand what Legislator Walter's saying, but I mean, we reclassified positions in his office in the budget without a desk audit. You know, for the, you know, I don't think that we've ever had the sheriff come to us asking for a reclassification without a desk audit and without, you know, coming with, you know, what needs to be done. I mean, this isn't CSDA. I mean, we could reclassify this to garbage collector if we wanted to. But, you know, I can't support it tonight. You know, I understand where the DA is coming from, and I understand where Legislator Walter's coming from. I just can't.
Any other discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
All right, the one opposed, thank you. 360, authorize the execution of an intermunicipal agreement for expenses related to improving criminal justice responses. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Second. Legislator Cale, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 361, approving the extrusion contract amendment for $295,188.26 for Tyler Industry Technologies. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Mr. Rock, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 362, approving the extrusion contract for $50,000 for Tay Fisher's Community Cornerstone. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Rock, discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 363, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute a contract, a grant application with required assurances from New York Connects program. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Mark, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 364, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $948,150 for Catholic Charities Orange Home in Ulster. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Mark, discussion? Kayla, you have discussion or no? No. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 365, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $45,000, causing aggregate to exceed $50,000 for Abbott House. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. So carried. 366, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $250,000 for Abbott House. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Rock. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So carried. 367, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $22,250 to cause the aggregate to exceed $50,000 for Benadio and Company. Can I have a motion? Mr. Rock, second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 368, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget to accept increased funding from New York State Office of Addiction Services. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second, Mr. Fabiano, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 369, amending the 2022 budget to accept increased funding.
I'll move it.
The second. Mr. Walter, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 370, amending the 2022 budget to accept increased funding from Office of Mental Health Cost of Living Adjustment. Can I have a motion? Move. Mr. Walter, second round. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 371, amending the 2022 budget to accept increased funding from Office of Mental Health for supportive housing. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Cahill, aye. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 372, amending 2022 budget to increase funding from Office of Mental Health for cost of living. Can I have a motion? Second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 373, amending 2022 budget to increase funding from Office of Mental Health for cost of living. Move. Mr. Walter, second. Ronk, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 374, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $29,520 quasi accurate to exceed $50,000 in access support for living. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Ronk, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 375, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $9,067 quasi accurate to exceed $50,000 Aster Services Children and Families. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Ronk, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 376, approving the issues of contract amendment for $180,349 for Gateway Industries. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
Raviano, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 377, approving the issues of contract amendment for $30,766, causing aggregate to exceed $50,000 for people. Can I have a motion? I said Walter. Second. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry 378, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $92,596 for rehabilitation support services. Can I have a motion? Chair Walter, second. Ronk, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carry 379, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $72,856 for Family Woodstock. Can I have a motion? Chair Walter, second. Ronk, all those, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 380, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $141,998 for Mental Health Association, Ulster County. Can I have a motion? Alicia Walter, second round. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 381, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $14,037, exceeding $50,000 limit for Family Services, Inc. Can I have a motion? Alicia Walter, second round. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 382, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $7,105, exceeding $50,000 limit. Health Alliance, Mary's Avenue Campus. Can I have a motion? Mr. Ronk, second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 383, establishing capital project 639, Hall of Records, building roof restoration. Can I have a motion? Mr. Ronk, second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 385, approving the execution of a contract for $510,600 for Titan Roofing, Inc. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Cahill, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 386, approving the execution of a contract for $492,196 for AMCOM USA. Can I have a motion? Mr. Ronk, second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carry. 387, approving establishing capital project 640 for DPW large culvert pipe program. Can I have a motion? Mr. Fabiano, second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carry. 389, amending the 2022-2027 capital improvement program for number 641, route 28, county route 50. Can I have a motion? Mr. Walter, second. Ronk, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 391, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $101,060 for complete building solutions. Can I have a motion? Mm-hmm. Second, Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 392, approving the execution of a contract for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 for Gordian Group. Can I have a motion? Mr. Ronk, second, Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 393, approving issues of a contract amount for $13,970, causing aggregate to exceed $50,000 for Dutchess overhead doors. Can I have a motion? Mr. Ronk, second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 394, establishing capital project 643 UCAP budget purchase. Can I have a motion? Mr. Ronk, second. Walter, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 396, supporting authorizing grant application for the Federal Transit to accept the Minister 5339B funding. Can I have a motion? Second. Walter, discussion?
Sorry, I unmuted too slow. I had a quick question on the 396.
We're on 396.
No. Aren't we on 397 now?
No, we're on 396. You were probably faster than you thought.
Yes, discussion. Sorry. how many of these green buses do we have so far? And what is, do you have a sort of plan, like in 1 year, 2 year, 5 year coming forward?
Deputy Executive Kelly, you have to respond.
Thank you, Chair. We currently have 3 electric buses in operation. We'll be looking to procure another 5. And then part of what we're doing is we have to really look at our charging infrastructure, which can be quite expensive to move beyond kind of the immediate area pulling out of Kingston, because you can't just plug these into normal charging stations. So it's not that we're going to stop procuring. These things can take 12 to 18 months just to get into our possession. But we certainly have to start looking at kind of satellite locations where we can put these charging stations, or potentially even look for locations where we can base the buses out of in order to charge them from there, initiate them from there, and serve other parts of the county, because we still do have the limitation on how far they can travel.
Liz Walter, if you want to follow up.
Yeah, related to that, I mean, have you reconsidered kind of how the routings can work so that you have more of buses serving within a cluster but connecting at certain places, so you would just do a bus connection rather? And then I know at one point there was a conversation of trying to create these bridge opportunities, maybe even on-call bridge opportunities. So sure. Is that part of the larger?
Yeah. So actually on the 18th, we're making a presentation with VIA for microtransit. So part of the microtransit pilot is to look at our fixed route scheduling for our buses in conjunction with microtransit, which helps get people off of the fixed route into other areas. So part of this whole thing is right now looking at all of our routing to find maximum efficiency. So I had that discussion actually with the director today about existing software and how we can use that for some of this, but we may look at some other tools through VIA that can help us do that type of scheduling. So we're looking at all of that right now. Part of the bus driver shortage has certainly pressured us into looking for efficiencies while also serving people where they need to go at the times they need to be there, which is a lot of feedback we've gotten from the different transit groups we've been working with, including through Legislator Erner. So certainly looking at that.
Legislator Cahill, you had your hand up before.
Thank you. So last year we passed a couple of capital projects directly related to the increased capacity for electric buses. So this is above and beyond that in satellite locations, I'm assuming, or is it part of that project?
So right now this is just the purchase of additional buses, and the discussion that I had with the director today was just, we're going to get to 8 buses, and that will serve an area that flows out of the Golden Hill bus garage location, which is our only charging station. So we are limited on how far out we can go from there without creating too much headway time, or you do have to bring these back in for charge at times. So we do feel comfortable that we can certainly do the Kingston area, Saugerties we're doing, and some of the other routes, but we're not going to be able to run down to Ellenville and back in an efficient way on these buses just yet. So I think there's going to have to be further analysis about the potential for, it's not set in stone, but the potential for ancillary charging stations or storage locations in order to keep this going. It also gets really expensive over time. The charging installations are extremely expensive. So we have to be really thoughtful and strategic about how we go about it. we're certainly committed. I think, you know, part of the Green New Deal, it's, I can be corrected on this, but I believe it's a 30 or 40% goal of our fleet by 2025 or so. That means that we do have to make significant investments in that charging infrastructure. So it all has to go together. But this is really about buses and support vehicles right now to support what we have locally. And then we're going to be working towards the larger goal of the whole green fleet.
So should we be looking at that capital project on Golden Hill and maybe downsizing that project and creating new projects in a more diverse, geographically diverse part of the county so we can satisfy some of these far-flung places with electric buses, right? I mean,
Potentially, sure. I think, you know, Dennis has put a lot of work into this, and I think with the technology evolving, just even since we bought the new Flyers, you're starting to see buses that have in excess of 300 miles on a charge. So it's, as anyone knows, with the electric and the battery capacity technology, it's expanding. But we do have to be thoughtful. And like to your point, yeah, we are going to have to look at that. Doesn't mean that we won't need extra storage here because the population center is still here. May end up being two smaller locations in the end, but the discussion is ongoing, certainly.
Legislator Ronk?
As a representative of a far-flung place, you know, to use Legislator Cahill's words, you know, perhaps, you know, a couple of these, you know, charging stations or whatnot could be co-located or DPW substations, which are better distributed in throughout the county than any of our other buildings. Just a thought.
Mr. Walter?
Thanks. And also, just because what's the point of the buses if we don't have everybody using them? I brought this up in health, but I just would like a little bit more clarity in the food insecurity assessment that our intern did, identified that one barrier to using the bus for grocery shopping is the limit of only one bag per bus. So just wondering if you could make a commitment to allow more, you know, maybe up to three bags, and that especially the vulnerable population gets made aware of that change. So I don't know if you've thought about it since that meeting that I brought it up, but it seems a very
important thing to do. I wasn't at the Health and Human Services meeting, but I hear the feedback, and I'll certainly look into it and get back to you.
Great. Both changing the rules and making sure people know that they can use they can bring more bags home.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Deputy Executive Kelly, question. So you mentioned the company name. I know I've brought this up to the previous deputy executive, but there's a company called Proterra. I believe you're familiar with them.
Yeah, that's so Proterra is the one that they're running 300 plus miles on their charging. But so, yeah, I know about Proterra. I don't know what the cost is. When we went out for, I think it was a competitive bid on this, we ended up with two of them on there that were closer, and it was New Flyer, and then there was one other company. But I'm certainly aware that's one of the companies I've been looking at for those longer range mileage. So,
yeah, not only do their buses have long range, but they also have their own charging systems that they have produced, which are apparently the highest
overheads.
Yeah, and that they're the fastest charging for the highest amount of energy. So they seem to be like the leader in this industry right now. They are West Coast based, but they are looking to come to the East. So this might be an opportunity. And I think Legislator Walter's point about, somebody made the point, I apologize if I'm getting it wrong, about, you know, the routing and having the right, the amount, because as I noticed, like in Elmo, for example, you have the same bus goes to Kingston on the same route multiple times a day, yet the capacity of the bus is underutilized during the middle of the day. But we're still running this gigantic bus just for, you know, two, three people sometimes.
100%. And that was a lot of the discussion with, it just happens that I was over there today, and the scheduling was a big portion of our conversation about how to jump back in and relook at it in a more intelligent way based on ridership and based on need. So I do think that I don't want to lose sight of the VIA part of it, because the VIA is it's a software company. They have a routing and scheduling software that is very robust. And if we win this award, it'll feed us on both ends. It's microtransit is not separate from transit. It is going to complement and be part of our overall transit system for the county. So we are very hopeful about that. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to look at scheduling regardless. That's going. So.
All right, thank you. All right, yep. Any other comments on this? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried. 397, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute intermunicipal agreement for information sharing for short-term rentals. Can I have a motion? Mr. Ronk, second. Bartels, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 398, authorizing the county of Ulster to increase allocation of sales tax distribution. Can I have a motion? To Senator Cahill, second. Bartels, discussion? Let's hear Cahill first, and then Walker.
Thank you. So I read through the agreement. I read through the schedule. And the thing that I'm a little concerned about, or questioning, I should say, is that we're using 2022 sales tax distribution collections for the 2022 year. The agreement expires on February in 2026. So how do we execute the 2026 aspect of this if the agreement is expired? We're using the full year collection to distribute the excess sales tax for 2022 at the end of the year, but we don't have the full year at the end of the agreement to use that. So I'm just looking for some explanation as to how the mechanics of this agreement will pan out at the end of the agreement.
Yeah, I don't believe that's true, but I'll let Deputy Executive Kelly respond. I read through it today.
Thank you, Chair. So this part of the agreement was triggered by us exceeding the 2020 budgeted amount of $128 million. So we've exceeded that amount, which triggers a conversation between the county and the municipalities about sharing additional revenues with them. So it's based on 21 collections, which exceeded. It's not based on this year. This is all taken in a single shot. So what we're asking as part of the agreement with the supervisors is that for this year, based on us exceeding on the 21 budget year, to enact an additional 1% for the municipalities based on the existing formula. 4% is overall. They currently get 3%. So this is an additional percent on top of the three.
Right. So real quick, I just want a clarification on the chart that we were provided.
Yep.
The estimated distribution in that chart has 2022. Is that the distribution or the collection year?
That's the distribution. The collection year is 21. The distribution is 22. And that's the approximately $1.5 million overall from all the different towns.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's say Walter, then Rock.
Thanks. So this follows on the same kind of questioning of the timing of when you're starting this distribution that I'm finding I'm a little confused about, because if it's for 2021 and the decision, the previous resolution said that you'd meet no later than May 1st the following year, so that would be May 1st, 2022, the allocation of any excess. It appears that the distribution doesn't really occur until 2023. Can you just explain when you see the municipalities actually getting this first amount?
So I guess I'll just walk through a little bit of the why we set it up this way. So we typically don't certify all sales tax receipts in the books until the end of April. So that's why we trigger the meeting for May, to make sure that finance has everything accounted for. So we had that meeting, present the resolution to the legislature for the appropriation and the authority to execute upon that part. And then if we do receive that permission here, then it's working with finance to cut the checks. That's kind of it.
Okay. Because it just said that the last resolve says it's dispersed dispersed in the last quarter of the year. So are you saying, because this is 2021
last quarter of the fiscal year. This is 2021 money, and we'll be dispersing it upon the agreement by the end of this year. So it'll hit their budgets as part of the 22 fiscal. Last quarter of this year.
As opposed to after we approve it, it just gets distributed because the money's already been received.
Yeah, I mean, I could, maybe that's a no later then. I can follow up with finance if that's a point. If it needed to be sooner,
it would be useful to know, since it is 2021 money that we've obviously clearly, we'll always know we've exceeded it, that what's the delay. But yeah, it'd be
useful. Sure, that's reasonable. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Legislator Rock?
Yeah, that's somewhat of what I was going to bring up. I didn't understand why, because it actually says in the final resolve that we're going to disperse the 1% of gross sales tax collected in fiscal year 2022, but we're actually talking about it being 2021 money. That's the part that I think is tripping up a lot of people, because the deal was if the 21 sales tax exceeded the high watermark, then the towns would get 2021 money.
Yep.
Okay. And then, so in theory, we could be having the same discussion the following year if 2022 numbers increase by a certain amount with 2022 money, and we'll make sure that it's worded better so it doesn't look like 2023 money. I do have one more comment, and again, I support the resolution. What does concern me is that, I feel strongly that the county shouldn't be paying the entire 100% of this extra 1%. The city of Kingston benefited from, the same boon that the county did, and they received 11.5% of the sales tax. So I believe that they should be sharing in 11.
Mr. Rocco, you cut out. We'll come back to Legislator Ronk. Supervisor Quigley. Supervisor Quigley.
Thank you, Chairman Gravels. The calculation was based upon the calendar year 2021 sales tax exceeding the 2020 budgeted revenues. I'm at a loss as to why we, the towns, are waiting till the last quarter of 2022 for the distribution on monies that were collected in 2021. I also want to highlight for the Ways and Means Committee members that the sales tax collection cycle, the December receipts, which close out the county's fiscal year, are not finally accounted for by the state until February, which usually triggers a distribution by the Department of Finance in March. Now, that March distribution is a combination distribution of a final true up for the prior fiscal year and a portion of the January and February sales tax. I had a discussion with Commissioner Gulnick this afternoon, and we read the resolved statement in here. And he basically interpreted it that he would be cutting the checks in 2023 after the final accounting for 2022 was made. And I find that, based upon the understanding of the Supervisors Association, that we're trying to distribute 2021 monies that are in the bank now, there's no question as to the accounting. Why is it that the towns are going to wait until either December of 2022 or possibly as late as February, March of 2023? Per my discussion with the Commissioner of Finance. That's my question.
I'll let Deputy Executive Kelly speak, because I think he's got a response to that.
Yeah, I'm going to work on that. I hear you guys loud and clear, and my intention was that it would be distributed with this year. So I'm going to follow up on that.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney?
Yeah, I just had a question about all the different towns, these municipalities are going to get, I understand how it registered. We hit a certain point, so all that did was basically guarantee a meeting with, I think, Mr. Quigley on behalf of the towns. And what they came out of it was a small share. Do we have some kind of formula? How do we decide what towns get what does, and specifically, does population and where the taxes were generated come into play? Because to me, if it doesn't, and I don't think it does, that doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. And I would think that the town of Ulster, Saugerties, and New Paltz probably get, make out the least and should probably get a bigger check. This goes to the original agreement as well, where the city of Kingston's getting an 11.5 or the 15%. The towns divvy up 3.5, and the town of Ulster's probably producing the majority of those funds and all the costs that come along with entertaining all those businesses, and they don't get any of it. And at some point, I think we have to have that conversation. I know my town that I represent also does not get nearly their fair share.
All right. Unless Deputy Kelly wants to respond to that, I'll, yeah.
Sure. So it's based on property valuation within the municipality. There's two ways of doing this under the law. So you can either do it under population calculation, or you do it under property valuation. So Ulster County does it under the property valuation calculation. So that extra 1% is based on the 3% that they've already received. So it's just extending that calculation.
It doesn't. We don't have to. I mean, Kingston getting an 11, that goes back many years, and there was development that was going on down at the Strand. I don't think it was ever
pretty much to, differently under the law, because the city of Kingston can preempt the county.
Let
them. Then they can collect their own. No, that doesn't really work well for the county or the rest of the towns and residents. So
it would for many of the municipalities. It would for the town of Ulster. It would for Saugerties. It certainly would. We don't get nearly as much back as we could. Quick question. Could we choose this right here? Could we choose the other formula to give this small percentage back in this one case? Or do we have to follow the same formula that we follow to begin with? Do we have that leverage? Because it seems we have a lot of leverage. We didn't have to do anything at all. Do you know what I'm asking?
I mean, are you asking me?
I guess I'm asking you.
Yes, go ahead, Deputy.
Sure. No, we believe the proposal and the agreement we worked out with the Supervisors Association is the right agreement for the county, and it's based off existing precedent. So that's what we support, and that's what we put forward.
I was just asking a question on process, where could we have chosen to give out using a different formula this 1%? Just a yes or no. Doesn't mean you have to. I was just asking if we could.
I'd have to do some research. I don't think it would be affected in the law, since this is additional to the existing formula. But I'd have to do some research on that.
Just one more comment. Now that I do have quite a few, we in Saugerties, we do have homeless shelters, and we have a lot of costs there. Our population is almost identical to the city of Kingston, and we get crumbs. We have our own policing as well, large parks and rec budget. We have our own safety net now, and we are getting nothing compared to the city of Kingston. And speaking and for the town of Ulster, they really don't get their fair share. I think it's something we need to revisit.
Wait till then.
Chair Gavaris, do you mind if I chime in?
Yeah, go ahead. I don't have you on thing, but go ahead.
Yeah, through the chair, to Supervisor Quigley. My understanding is that this agreement was approved by the Supervisors Association based on the fact that the money does not have any independent strings attached to it. And that's one of the biggest things you were pushing.
Supervisor Quigley?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Heppner. The Supervisors Association has echoed the concerns that Mr. Maloney has expressed on the allocation methods. But when debated, we always have come back to the existing methodology being the most rational. And given the fact that this methodology has been applied consistently since the start of the sales tax sharing agreement, it would, if there is an initiative on behalf of the legislature to investigate this and to negotiate it, it should be done at the period of time when the contract is renewed, not when we're in the middle of a contract. The supervisors have been briefed on the amounts. I have heard no objections. And as Legislator Heppner has stated, the biggest concerns expressed when this discussion started was the possibility of having strings or mandates attached to this distribution. At the present time, I will say that notwithstanding the discussion on the year and the calculation of the dollars, the Supervisors Association and its members are in agreement that the methodology and the payment should be made.
Thank you. All right, Legislator Walter.
Thanks. I will say this wasn't originally what I was going to say, but also that I also agree with Legislator Maloney that there is a better way to do this, but I also agree with the supervisor that this isn't the right moment because I don't want to, this is pretty groundbreaking that we're even doing this. And I'm really happy and I don't want to delay it. So on that, what I would like to request is I could see some very easy changes, amendments to this, which would mean in the first resolve, if you took out the in fiscal year 2022, so it just read that it approves that an additional 1% of the sales tax collected. And if in the last resolve, instead of saying collected in fiscal year 2022, it would say 2021, and that it would be dispersed at the approval, you know, at the point of approval by the legislature. But it, because it's currently definitely reading, especially that last resolve, that it's sales tax collected in 2022, when in fact this is about sales tax collected in 2021, unless I'm misunderstanding what fiscal year means. It sounds that way. So I would love to have perhaps consider those changes so that we can move it along, or we'll postpone it for 1 week so that we can make those corrections to approve it next week. But I would like it to be clear that it's 2021 money to be distributed right away.
Yeah, I see no harm in postponing a week just to get the clarification. So, but I guess we'll go to the others who got their hands up. Legislator Yushita.
Thank you, Chair Guevara. You know, I just wanted to say in response to kind of the direction that some of this conversation is going in, you know, I could go on at length about how Kingston doesn't have a single county road and provides a lot of services that the county provides for all of the other municipalities. I could go on at length about that, but instead I'll just share a story that on, as some of you know, a few of us here in the city of Kingston, volunteer for a group called the Kingston Emergency Food Collaborative. We do deliveries for food that are all prepared at the Hodge Center, which is a industrial kitchen that is run by the city and prepares meals for people in need. This Monday, I spent my Monday driving through Saugerties. That was the route that I was on, driving all through Saugerties, making deliveries of food. And I'm very happy to do it. And the city of Kingston is definitely excited for more folks who are interested in collaborating with us as we expand the services that we provide to help everybody in the county. And I don't mean the city formally, I mean those in the city and using the resources of the city. And we're always looking for more resources. So if other municipalities in the county wanna jump into this, we can definitely have those conversations. Thank you.
Everybody else?
Thank you. I was just going to echo that. Well, first of all, to say that I'm totally supportive of this, but I think that we should get the language right. So if there is no harm in waiting a week and fixing it, I think that's what we should do. Supervisor Quigley raised some concerns that he discussed with Commissioner of Finance. I do also want to note that it would be nice to have the Commissioner of Finance at these meetings so that when these things come up, we can ask these questions directly and potentially get it sorted in real time. So I'd be amenable to 1 week, no longer, but just to get it right.
Mr. Hale.
Thank you. So going back to the reason why we have a sales tax agreement in the first place, Kingston is a city. Therefore, they have the ability to raise their own sales tax. And the reason this agreement is in place in the first place is because they've agreed to not have a sales tax and defer to the county to share the county collections, right? And so that really is the root of why the city of Kingston at any time can say, no, we don't want to play ball with the county. We will not take part in any sales tax collection distribution going forward. And that will be that. Then we'll be stuck on our own with what our sales tax allocation is. And then we would be dividing that, probably none of it, to the towns, quite honestly, because we'd need every penny of it. Right. So, you know, that is really the crux of where this started and why we have to negotiate with the city of Kingston and why they get the lion's share of what the county doesn't take. Right.
All right. Deputy Kelly, then Legislator Fabiano, then Maloney.
Well, I just wanted to highlight one portion. So the mayor is of City Kingston is an invited participant in the Town Supervisors Association. And they actually changed their bylaws to have him be a present member. So in our discussions with the supervisors and the mayor, what we've done, since this is coming out of county shares, we have exempted the city of Kingston from applying for ARPA funds from the county for the different program that we've opened up to the town. So they are not eligible for the $500,000 in the water and sewer. And I know they have water and sewer projects. But in order to facilitate the agreement, they did agree to not be applying for any of those programs. So in that sense, they have given up that opportunity as well. And the other part was, I was going to echo Legislator Cahill's point, is it does get quite complicated when it comes to the preemption. And I know that was looked at, I don't know, maybe it's 5, maybe it's 6, 7 years ago during the last time this agreement was up, but it didn't look beneficial for many of the municipalities or the county as a whole. And from a county perspective, we have to be concerned about how it affects the whole and not just the individual. So thank you.
Thank you, Lister Fabian.
Yes, I just also want to say that I also support the postponement of this for the week. So when it comes back to us next week to vote on it, the proper changes will be made to make sure that it will go the right way.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney?
Yep, real quick. I was a yes on this all the way. I'd actually spoken to a couple of supervisors while these discussions were going on, and wasn't a guarantee that the county was going to do this, but they ended up doing it, and I was happy they did. I'm a yes on this. The reason I was bringing those points up was food for thought and just letting everyone know there is other ways of going about this. If I'm hearing from Mr. Cahill and Mr. Kelly that the city of Kingston would do better if they went and collected their own 1% and exited the agreement with the county, and that many towns in this county, by coming up with a deal. Now, first of all, the county doesn't even have to distribute. So all these numbers can be played with. If you're telling me 11.5 of the 15% that we give to the city of Kingston is the perfect fair amount, then I'm just saying that's a rather simplistic way without a lot of information to look at it. I'm saying that Saugerties getting $500,000, $1 million, and the city of Kingston getting $17.5 million or whatever it is, I'm saying that's probably Saugerties. Dare I say that if we got a fair deal from the county and the city of Kingston did their own thing, a lot of towns in this county would lower their taxes if they were able to put that money and get a fair share of the sales tax they produced. I would love to see those numbers that you're quoting, that somehow the city of Kingston, out of the goodness of their hearts, are not doing their own thing and getting less money, and all the towns are getting a bigger share. I do not believe for 1 second that's what would play out. And that's, we've had these discussions, and through the years, there's been times where it's gotten pretty contentious between the county and the city of Kingston over this. So this is not the matter of fact way this is being discussed, and almost inferring that the city of Kingston is losing money on it and the towns are making more money with this deal is ridiculous. Saugerties does not nearly get their fair share, and neither does the town of Ulster for that matter.
Mr. Rock?
Yeah, thanks. I think that the issue is that if the city of Kingston were to preempt us, they would receive less money than they do right now. That is, I believe, universally understood. Because they would only be able to charge a 1% sales tax inside the city limits. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that if they did preempt us, my understanding is that the county would then only be able to charge a 1% sales tax outside of the city of Kingston, and we would lose the other 3% of the sales tax that we charge. So, you know, I tend to agree with you. If we were able to charge our 4% sales tax outside of the city of Kingston, I would have no problem with them preempting because they'd lose, we'd win. But I, that's not my understanding of the way that the sales tax.
And I was under the impression that would be up to the state legislature, that they could do that to us, but they wouldn't necessarily have to. I've never understood it that we would lose. There'd be no discussion to be had if that was the case.
I think that's the reason there's never been a discussion to be had, because I believe that they've sort of got that, you know, proverbial, leverage over us.
All right. Why don't we have the attorneys looking to get an answer instead of the speculation going on? Because as may have been pointed out in a different context, we're not all experts here. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. As another representative of the city of Kingston, obviously I want what's good for the city of Kingston, but I worry when I hear the body hitting one place against another and saying, well, we'll lose, you'll win, sort of thing like that. And I'm new here still, and I'm still learning about how this all works. And so I do appreciate the discussion. I want to see if there's a win-win for everybody in the county as well. And the information we get hopefully gets us to that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead.
To Legislator Erner's point, your community has what, 25,000 people or so in the city of Kingston. Is that about accurate? Anybody with the knowledge? Yeah. So your community has 25,000 people and receives somewhere in the area $17 million from the sales tax. My community has 14,000 people and receives somewhere in the area of $200,000 from the sales tax. So that's where the conversation about winners and losers comes in. I understand that there's differences between the
We lost you, Legislator Rock.
And to finish up Ken's point, a $250,000 house in the city of Kingston for a young family, their taxes are going to end up being half of what you would pay for a $250,000 residence in Saugerties. So when you talk about 17 something going to Kingston and my town having 23,000 people in it, And paying twice the taxes, that money that we're not getting for our sales tax that you are, does affect my constituents. So it's not me versus you. It's about getting the number right, making it fair to have that conversation. There is a debate where I want something and you want something else.
All right. Let's say Walter.
Thanks. I think this is a great conversation. I was very interested in it when the last agreement happened. I hope we keep the energy going when the next one happens, not too many years ahead. But I'm putting in a motion to postpone this for a week since I don't think officially there has been one.
There has not been. Second?
I'll second that motion.
Fabiano. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Majority Leader Heppner did have his hand up though. Chair.
I'm sorry. He's not on mute video, so I don't see him. Majority Leader, go ahead.
So I would just like to ask Supervisor Quigley, is the position of the Supervisors Association that we should postpone? How do you feel about that?
I would agree to the postponement with the intention to clarify the language so there is no misunderstanding on anyone's part on how this is to be carried out.
Correct.
Thank you. All right. Everybody received the 2020.
If I could follow up. Sure. So, Supervisor Quigley, how do you feel about the number distribution? You're still good with that?
The number distribution, when I calculated using Commissioner Golnick's filed financial statements, the gross amount representing 1% of an additional distribution to the towns was about $1,548,000, I believe. I'm certain that when Commissioner Galnick sits down to look at the numbers and make the calculation, he will come up with a number very close to the number that I just articulated, because that's what he filed.
And so have you talked to Mayor Noble about this?
I spoke to Mayor Noble about a month ago when he informed me that the discussion between himself and the county executive was going to be there would be no sales tax distribution. We are a long way from that conversation at this point in time.
Thank you.
All right, everybody.
Can I just make a request for the resolution itself? If we do postpone, can we
it's
have
already
a list?
Postponed. We've already voted. It's
okay.
Already...
Can we get a list of every municipality and how much their share is? That's a pretty basic.
It's already on the resolution. We submitted it as part of the backup.
Okay, I got to take a look at that.
Plus the 1%, yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. The calendar for the budget has been sent out. Legislator Walter?
You could finish your sentence first. It's just for when you're done with your sentence.
Okay. I don't know if anybody had a chance to look at it yet, but if not, you know, let's do it next week. Let's approve the calendar. And just so if you have not already looked at it, please look at it between now and then. Legislator Walter and then Rock.
Thanks. So at the last budget, we were compelled to add a number of people into the finance department and have innovation with the promise of a fantastic new budget that will have goal settings, I guess, 5-year goals and percentages, and just be much more enhanced than any budget we've ever seen. So I just want to remind Deputy Executive Kelly of that promise when we approved all those other people that we're really expecting this highly innovative, prospective goal setting budget that will be unlike any that we've ever seen before. And that I'm really looking forward to that idea, which I know has been expressed, of saying things that we're hoping for again, like within 5 years, and how these different expenditures will work towards those ultimate goals, so that we really, and that they're set up with a clarity over what the vision is for the county, so that, and it's set up in a way that our community members can really understand it. So I just wanted to say that I'm, given the extra 3 to 4 people, I'm really excited about this brand new budget that we're going to see.
Thank you. Legislator Ronk, did you have your hand up before?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the budget schedule, are we still planning a meeting and a public hearing on Election Day?
Yes.
I respectfully suggest that we change that day, because I will not be there, able to be participating.
All right. Well, we can talk about it next week then, when we're in person, and we'll look at if another time works better. Deputy Zev Kelly, you had your hand up?
Yeah. I just want to clarify one point. We didn't add additional positions. We combined the unit of budget and innovation, and we actually lost a position within the unit. So that actually got smaller. And over the last 2 years, we have focused on the innovation, including a completely new budget program and online interactive site. So yeah, we're going to continue to work towards there. I'm not in budget anymore, unfortunately, but we got smaller. We lost a position in that unit. So I just wanted to clarify that point.
And to that point, Leslie Walter, in fairness, the whole plan of having this fantastic award-winning budget presented was contingent on Deputy Executive Kelly being in that position. Now that he's been promoted, that promise went out the window.
Right.
I'm joking when I say that. I want to be clear that I am joking when I say that.
Well, sorry, to be clear, I'm not. I mean, again, and we can look at the minutes. Very clearly, we were asked about to approve increases in finance and improve this innovation department, and told that the reason of the innovation department was because we were going to see innovations in the budget. Because changes happened after, not my problem. I voted in favor of it because that was what we were told. And at the time, I expressed concerns and disbelief that it would happen. Expressed disbelief that that was what it was going to take to have this type of innovative budget. But I will be extremely, extremely disappointed if we do not see it. And I certainly hope that if we don't see one, that you're not going to be asking for more people to further innovate a budget that you perhaps won't. But, you know, you have time. I hope it's there. You all seem very committed. And again, if you forget your commitment, we can look back at the transcript.
And I will confirm, Legislator Walters is correct. That was the commitment that was given, that this budget would be very helpful for us to see. All right, if nothing else, Comptroller Gallagher is not here, but Alicia, you were going to present on something?
Yep, I just have two quick topics on behalf of the Comptroller. The first being our fund balance report. It was released last week out of our office. In summary, Ulster County closed out 2021 with about $85 million in unassigned general fund balance. That's $54 million in excess of your current upper threshold of 10% of general operating expenses. The report went into a few recommendations about how you could reduce the excess of that balance, including increasing the threshold. Historically, we've been closer to 15% is what we're carrying as our fund balance. If we think that that's a good number to be at, you guys could amend the policy to 15% of general operating expenses, reallocate some of that fund balance to reserve funds. We do have a few reserve funds currently in use that could be increased, capital reserves for capital projects, insurance reserves to mitigate insurance costs, and tax stabilization funds. I know you guys moved some funds in and out of those reserves in the most recent year. And there are a few other reserve funds that are allowable under general municipal law that we don't currently have. Repair funds, snow and ice removal, solid waste management, and some related to employee benefits and retirement contributions. Those could be used to mitigate future costs and bring us in alignment with the policy. And then also consider other ways to cut taxes or offer rebates. You guys passed the gas tax holiday, which will probably result in about $3 million less revenue there. So that'll help the excess fund balance. You guys consider other programs like that. And lastly, the report suggested taking a look at your fund balance policy to include some other governmental funds like the Special Revenue Fund, the County Road Fund, the Road Machinery Fund, and the Debt Service Fund. We recently started allocating some of our real property tax revenues to those funds. Your current policy doesn't speak to those funds. So as we start to use those funds, you might want to keep an eye on what level of fund balance you think is appropriate for those and maybe include them in the policy going forward. That's available on our website. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me or March. And then we're working on the real property tax audit. I know there's been a lot of discussion about 701 Grant Avenue. We have started working on the foreclosure process and real property tax collections as a whole. We're working through all of the properties for 2017 and 18 right now. It's a lot of information to work through. It's going to take us a few months. And we plan to expand the audit as time allows. And the process unfolds. There's a timeline, so 17 and 18 should be, you know, mostly completed at this point. So we hope to have an update, you know, again in a few months on those two tax years. So, and that's all I have for you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anybody else have anything? All right. If not, a motion to adjourn. Second. Mr. Cahill. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. As of right now, we're going to be at the college. Just as a reminder, at 5:30, we'll look it over again, but I think we're going to keep 5:30. I don't think we need to meet earlier, but if there is some reason to do it earlier, you'll get notified. So, all right. Thank you all.
Good night.
Good night.